Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Luckett, and life has a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and many in-betweens, but the thing that remains consistent is our God. So let's see what we talk about today. Dating. It is a complicated thing, something that's honestly not really my favorite, and today we're going to dive into my dating history with my current husband, my only husband, my forever husband. Maybe current wasn't the way that I should have worded that. The husband that I have now, we have been together for a little over 2 years total, meaning dating, engagement, and marriage. It has been a total of 2 years. Now, in today's standards and society standards, I would say that that's most likely a little fast. I would say in stereotypical Christian culture, that might be somewhat normal, maybe even a little bit long, dare I say. It depends on who you talk to. It depends on what your circle is, who you surround yourself with. But I think one thing goes to say that we have been through it all. At this point, a lot of it. And if you were to ask Ryan about our dating history, he would probably have a very different perspective, and a lot of things that I will point out today, he may point out different things. So I would be interested to invite him on to talk about this, maybe in a later episode, to get his take on certain things. But today you're hearing my side, because you know what? This is my podcast, and I get to make the rules. So if this is the first podcast you have listened to of me, that's incredible. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing my story. If this is not the first podcast that you've listened to, you're a real one. Thank you guys for being here. I will say, regardless, if you do want an actual in-time podcast of when Ryan and I first started dating. By the way, I don't know if I said that. Ryan's the name of my husband, my current husband. Okay, I'm done with that joke. It's not funny. There is a podcast way, 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 way back before I even did social media, because I started the podcast about 5 years ago and only started social media about almost 2 years ago. In the archives, back when I did this podcast before Ryan was even a co-host, I had Ryan on as a guest, and it was like maybe the first month that we started dating. I listened back to it maybe a month ago. Oh my gosh. When I tell you, it was the cutest cringy thing I've ever seen. Like, it was so cringe because we were so new and I was really nervous. He was really nervous. There was this nervous energy, but it was so perfect at the same time. Well, maybe not perfect because Jesus is the only one that's perfect, but you know what I mean? It was just so us, and it was so pure and sweet to see how far we've come and like look at where we're at now being married and be able to have a podcast that was about an hour long of Ryan sharing his testimony and hearing our banter back and forth and our relationship back and forth and how we talked to each other and how much our conversations and the flow of how they went have changed. It was just really cool to hear that. And I mean, obviously it was a little different because it was podcast format and Ryan was a little bit more nervous. I was more nervous because I really hadn't had a boyfriend on the podcast before besides one, but you know, I knew this man was going to be my husband. So it was just sweet to go back and listen to that. So if you want to go listen to that, I'm pretty sure it's just called A Conversation with Ryan Luckett. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. You have to get through some of the cringy parts of it, but I will say it's really sweet. So that being said, dating. If I were to define dating in my own words, it would be getting to know someone to see if you're compatible with them, to be a potential suitor that you could marry. Okay. I really got serious about dating when I found the book Outdated by Jonathan Pakluda, or JP. This book actually changed my life. I read it when I was a freshman in college, I believe. I read it when I was in college. I think I was a freshman. I had just come out of a breakup and I found this book. So if you need a good recommendation for a book, let it be that one. Outdated by Jonathan Pakluda. It breaks down dating. It talks about his stance and biblical stance. He's a preacher. He's a pastor. It talks about like biblical stance of, you know, the Bible doesn't necessarily talk about dating, but here is how scripture can inform us on how we should date in today's world. Because if I'm correct, I believe dating wasn't really a thing back in biblical times as it is today. Like, I'm pretty sure this is going to sound so weird. I don't know how to say this without it sounding weird, but like the men or the fathers of the household would literally like trade land or trade goats in exchange for women. Someone fact check me on that. I'm not like claiming that to be 100% true, but I'm pretty sure that's like a thing or was a thing. I may be sounding really ignorant right now, and I really hope I'm not. I really hope that I'm not coming off stupid or dumb. But yeah, anyways, I'm not going to get into that because it's not something that I'm 100% sure of, but I'm pretty sure this happened. Anyways, so dating can be kind of hard to talk about, especially because there's not a lot of scripture to back up specifically dating, but there is a lot of scripture to back up relationships, friendships, community. And so today we're going to be diving into my history with Ryan and dating. But in order to get into that, I do have to touch a little bit into me, Abby, used to be Murphy dating history. And I'm not going to dive deep into specifics on the men that I did date. I'm only going to be sharing my experiences and what I experienced from my experiences with dating men. But just out of respect for the people that I did date, like, they aren't going to want their information out in the world. I mean, I don't know. I don't talk to these people. Maybe they would. Who knows? But I don't have communication with these people at this point. So there's just no need to get into it. It's kind of irrelevant for today's podcast as well. I will say though, I do find past dating experiences interesting. I talk to Ryan all the time about like his past dating experiences. Like, I'll be like, can you tell me about the girls that you used to date? Can you tell me about like how you dated in high school, how you dated in college? Like, will you, you know, fill me in on that? He doesn't seem to find it nearly as interesting as I do, but I love it. I think it's so interesting just to see the arc of how we've changed. And let me tell you, we've changed a lot. So when I was we're going to date back to like Abby when she had her first ever crush. Before we do that, it's time for our drink. Let me see if I can do that. I don't think I can do this with one hand because I'm holding the mic with my other hand, but I'm going to lower the mic so that you can hear the crisp crackle, the strawberry vanilla Olipop. Because at this point we should know strawberry vanilla is the best flavor of Olipop. So that's not an opinion. That's fact. So here I am cracking open my Olipop. Oh yeah. Oh, it just splattered just a bit on me. But you know what? That's fine. Let's take a little sip together, shall we? Not sponsored. Wish it was. Wish it was. I had my first ever crush when I was in the fifth grade. I remember it vividly. And I don't even think this person knows that I had a crush on him, but I remember the feeling. When I tell you, I remember everything that went through little Abby's brain. I was in fifth grade. It was at the Valentine's dance. We had like a little Valentine's social. And looking back now, this is kind of weird because we had like a Valentine's queen and a Valentine's king and you would vote on it. And I guess it's the same thing as like a prom queen or a prom king in high school. But for fifth graders, that's kind of, in my opinion, a little weird maybe. Like, why are we teaching who should be like the love queen and the love king in fifth grade? Like, we're already establishing some sort of like hierarchy, some sort of like popularity thing. I don't know. Kind of weird in my opinion now looking back. But what do I know? Maybe it was like instilled some sort of learning opportunity or prepared kids for what they were going to experience in high school. I don't know. But fifth grade? I don't know. But I mean, I did have my first crush in fifth grade on that day. So maybe it was time to start teaching people the realities of life that I don't know. Anyways, so I remember this guy got the fifth grade Valentine King or whatever the label was called. And I was hoping so bad that they were going to call my name for Valentine's Queen. And then they didn't. I was so upset. I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing a little like quarter sleeve red dress that had red lace over the top of it. It was fitted at the top and then it kind of like flung out at the bottom. White tights, brown combat boots. I was wearing my glasses, hair half up, half down. I still remember. No, there is no picture. There probably is a picture somewhere. Oh, and I had a jean jacket on. Dark wash, not light wash. I still remember to this day. It's burned into my brain. Not looking at a picture. This is all from my memory. They got a crown, each of them, the queen and the king. And I just watched them up on this little cafeteria stage. The party was in the cafeteria, but there's like a stage in the cafeteria. I'm pretty sure they danced together. I don't remember. Again, for fifth grade, kind of odd. I was so upset. I might have even cried. In that day, I decided I had a crush on this boy. And that's when my feelings for men started. It all started from that day. I think it lasted maybe 24 hours, the crush, but it was real. Real enough for me to remember it at 23 years old today. So do with that what you will. Then I actually had a real crush of like, oh, I think I might want to date this person, like the concept of dating and all that, in eighth grade. And we were pretty tight. But it was still kind of awkward because I told myself I was never going to date someone in middle school. I was always pretty level-headed about dating. Realistically, I was like, if I'm not going to drive, there's no point in dating because it's just going to be weird. And we're going to be those people that like, oh, can we hug in the hallway after third period? And then you don't talk to each other for the rest of the day. Like, I just kind of knew that that was middle school dating vibes. So although I had crushes, I was never really really interested in dating someone because I just knew realistically, like, it wasn't going to happen. Like, there was just something awkward to me about going on a date with someone and then having to text my mom to pick me up. Now, today's day and age, like, I'm sure we have lots of middle school listeners. So if you're in middle school, shout out to you. But I'm sure in today's day and age, it's a lot different, like social media and texting and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't have a phone until I think right when I got in middle school. But even then, it didn't work unless I had Wi-Fi. So even then, like, I couldn't, you know, text people a lot, if that made sense. So maybe I did. Maybe in eighth grade, I got a phone. I really can't remember. But I do remember that in eighth grade, I had like a legitimate crush. And we actually would hang out outside of school. So maybe we could have made it work. But I'm someone who, if I like make a rule or set something in my mind, I'm going to follow it. And so I just kind of knew that I owed it to myself to be like, no, Abby, you said you weren't going to date anyone in middle school, so you're not going to do it. If my child were to date someone in middle school, I don't know what I would say, like if I would allow it or if I wouldn't allow it, or even if I wouldn't allow it, like they would probably still find a way to make it happen anyways. Like, what are they going to do? Like, go to school and not talk to this person? So I don't know, but I'm also not making rules about how I'm going to raise my children until Ryan and I actually start having conversations about having children. And that's a long way away, people, a long way away. But what I will say is that I do think it is a little bit unrealistic in middle school to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend when you can't drive. Like, your parents are very much so involved in that relationship. And that's, if that's something you're okay with, then great, go date whoever you want to. And well, okay, maybe not date whoever you want to, but I think kids are growing up a lot faster today than they were when I was in middle school. So there's a lot more levels. But at the time and place when I was in middle school, it was just unrealistic. And I didn't want to have the whole like, let's schedule when your mom picks me up and blah, 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 blah. Like, just didn't want to mess around with it. So we hung out at school. We hung out in group settings. We hung out at the games, things like that. And I had the biggest crush on this man. The biggest crush on this man. Well, he was a boy. But, and then again, just kind of like fizzled away. And that was that. And then I got into high school and I was so upset because I kind of blossomed a little bit later than a lot of my friends. I was still a little, you know, I had my braces for a while and didn't really like hit my growth era until a little bit older. And then I was also someone who was just super friendly with a lot of people. I loved being friendly. I was a little awkward, still trying to find myself. I was very insecure at the time. Just all the things that come with high school. And I just remember thinking to myself, no one sees me, no guy sees me like they would want to date me. They all see me as a friend, or like, oh, Abby's friendly with everyone. Abby talks like that with everyone, which was true. I wasn't someone who really tried to like flirt. I just kind of was really friendly with everybody. And so my flirting was also friendly, like, if that makes sense. Like, if I liked someone, I was really friendly with them. I didn't make hints or be like, oh, you're cute or whatever. I don't even know how to flirt at a high school age anymore because I'm not high school, but I don't know how to flirt in general. Okay. I'm married, so I just talk to my husband because he's my husband. But at the time, I did just kind of talk to everyone the same, and I was friendly with everyone. And so people just viewed me as a friend. And I just remember having crushes on guys at that time, and they just never saw me like that, or at least they didn't let me know they saw me like that. And I really felt like, oh my gosh, I'm never gonna get a boyfriend. I am just always gonna be these people's friends. And I did have those thoughts of like, okay, well, maybe I should, you know, change and try to be less crazy Abby and start to be more like stereotypical what I think guys would want. But then I had a really strong relationship with Jesus from a very young age, and so I just kind of knew, like, even when those thoughts floated into my head, like, okay, Abby, that's not what the Lord has called you to. That's not how Jesus wants you to be. Like, Jesus doesn't want you to change yourself for a guy. You be you and it'll come, like, your time will come. And so growing up, I kind of always had that. I always had these little thoughts of like, oh, well, what if I did this or what if I did that? And I never really leaned into those, even though sometimes like the pain of not feeling wanted at that young age did really hurt really bad. Like, I do remember feeling not valued by men at that age because I was like, oh, they look at all these other girls and they think they're so pretty. And, you know, there are those girls in high school that everyone has a crush on. And then there's just you. Like, I was not one of those girls, at least from my perspective. So then that summer, I got my first ever boyfriend. I had a boyfriend. So crazy. It lasted like 2 months. Hope you're doing well. And then I started having real feelings for people when I got my license. So it all kind of like worked out. Like I guess I just felt more adult because I could drive myself places and do things. And then I got my braces off. Just all of this stuff kind of started happening. I got older and then guys kind of started making moves and started Snapchatting me and I Snapchatted them back. And then I was getting this attention that wasn't friendly. It was more than friend. And I don't remember much from that time. I never really talked to more than one person at a time. Again, just because like I was very informed on, I don't know, I guess how Jesus, like, I don't even know how to word it. Like, it wasn't like I was really reading a lot of things about biblical dating or even thinking about dating in a biblical way. But I just think that I was so involved in church and in community and was reading my Bible every day. And just my sole purpose was Jesus, that the Holy Spirit kind of just guided my gut and convictions about certain things. And so, yeah, I was never really interested in, you know, talking to someone just for the sake of talking or flirting just for the sake of flirting. Like, I always had this mindset that like, I'm gonna do it for a purpose. I don't think, looking back now, I don't think I really thought dating was to lead to marriage, mostly because I was a little scared of commitment in marriage. I mean, I was young, so like it makes sense. But if I could give myself advice looking back, then it's like, okay, well, if you don't want to think about marriage, then just don't involve yourself in dating. Like, there's no point. You know what I mean? But I was just so young at the time that I didn't really think that far ahead and I wasn't super deep into my walk with Christ from a dating standpoint. So anyways, then the end of my sophomore year, I got my first boyfriend. No, my second boyfriend. What am I talking about? Not me forgetting my first boyfriend. So I got my second boyfriend and that was like a legitimate real relationship. That was my first like real relationship. I was older, more mature. I was actually thinking about like, okay, could this be someone that I could potentially marry? And then we broke up maybe like, I don't know, 6-7 months later. Shout out. Hope you're doing well. And then throughout high school, had a couple more relationships. They all taught me different things. And I really leaned into like, okay, am I going to date this person just to date them? And if that's the case, then there's no reason in dating them, because if there's not some sort of marriage mindset to it, then what's the point? Now, I will say when I went to college, I had one boyfriend and it was great. It taught me a lot. Like every relationship that I had taught me a lot, but I didn't really start seeing positive shifts in myself, positive meaning sometimes they were hard, until I dated Ryan. Now, looking back, I can't really remember much from my other relationships on the part of like personal growth. I'm sure at the time I would apply that to then as well with those relationships, but Ryan like showed me the true love of Jesus in a way that was so loving that he didn't care to push me to help me grow and tell me the hard things. He told me the hard things because he loved me so much. It wasn't like he was like, oh, well, she doesn't want to hear that or XYZ because then she'll get upset by it, so I'm not going to tell her. No, he was like, no, I want to go with her through the hard things, through the good things. And that is like the love of Jesus. I mean, Jesus loves us so incredibly much. And I never experienced a love like that until I met Ryan Luckett. So I didn't realize I had a lot of baggage either until I met Ryan. He asked me on a date and I was really closed off. I was really nervous. And the thing that I realized of why I was so nervous was because I didn't know if I wanted to marry him. If that doesn't say overthinking, then I don't know what does. I'm going to try to word this very specifically so that you're able to understand. If you're someone like me, then you probably understand that statement just as it is, blanket statement. But if you're not someone who's an overthinker, then you may not. So what I mean by that is when Ryan asked me on a date, I just went into panic mode. Not because I didn't want to go on the date, but because I was so hurt from so many other breakups, not necessarily the men, but just getting close with someone in a relationship and thinking that I was going to marry them and then having that end. I was so nervous that that would happen again, that I didn't want to get to know someone and get emotionally involved with someone and not marry them again. I was just so tired of that, because in every relationship that I had, my intentions were like, this is going to be the last boyfriend that I have because I'm going to marry them. And so time and again, when that didn't happen, because again, I took dating pretty seriously in high school and in college, it was like, it just kept happening. And so I went into panic and I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to marry this man, so I don't need to go on the date. How the heck are you going to get to know someone if you don't, like romantically, if you don't go on a date with them? So it was just this fight back and forth mixed with, well, Lord, I just want to focus on you and I can only focus on you if it's just me and you. And I do think there is a time and a place for that, but that didn't apply to me at that time. And I had mentors and people in my life who were also telling me that as well, because I did ask people in my life for advice. And I think that's very, very important. You can get a lot of good nuggets of truth from podcasts and things, but this is all very general and all very to me. And if something resonates with you, great. But there's just no way that something I say to someone who I know nothing about can hit as hard or have as much impact as someone directly in your life who knows the like intricacies of what you've walked through and who really, really knows you. Like, that is going to be so great and have such great weight in your life because they know you. And so I do encourage you to go, you know, seek wisdom if you maybe feel anything that I talk about in this podcast, but especially that just back and forth of like, I don't know if I'm going to marry them and blah, 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 blah. As a Christian woman walking through that period of my life, I just wanted so bad to please God that I kind of hid the fact that Jesus loves me no matter what I do, that I was like, well, I don't want to get involved with him again, Jesus, because what if this happens? And what if that happens? And then what if I go distant from you? Or what if it was like my brain was just like trying to find every single irrational thought that I could have. And I remember sitting down with a friend and she was just like, God doesn't require perfection of you to say yes to a date. It is just a date. You're not sinning if you say yes to a date when you don't know if you're going to marry this man. And for some reason that just like clicked for me. And so I said yes to the date. And I had a lot of emotional baggage again. And so I thought like, oh, I have to figure all that out before I date someone. And the thing is, for me, I was using the hurt from past breakups and past relationships as a wall to put up so that I didn't have to go through breakup emotions again. And so it wasn't necessarily things I had to work on in myself. It was just me pulling from my past to protect me and shutting me off from experiencing a great relationship. And if I wouldn't have had people in my life to talk to about this, I would have said no to the date. And if I would have said no, I don't know if I'd be married today. And this is one of the greatest joys in my life. He's the most important person in my earthly life, Jesus being the number one in the everything life. But I was just trying to pull from past experiences and take irrational fears and make them factual so that I could block myself off from letting my heart open again. But the thing is, there's always going to be a chance that you have to take when getting into a new relationship. And if you aren't ready to open your heart up again, that's between you and God. That's fine. But for me and where I was in my walk with Christ and in my relationship era, I guess, for lack of better words, the only reason that I would have said no was just out of fear, not because I didn't want to. And so that was the deciding factor for me. And so I said yes to the date. And on that very first date, I told him everything. Now, again, this is very person to person, which is why I'm coming from a place of my experiences rather than like, let me give you advice and blah, 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 blah. This is just my story. But I told him everything, how I felt, all my fears. I mean, I told him everything. And I'm the type of person, like, I can't hide things. There's no way I could have gone on more dates with this man without telling him all of my thoughts first, because I'm just like, I got to tell you everything, because if I don't, it's just going to linger in the back of my mind and I won't be able to actually invest in conversation with you because I'm just going to be thinking about all my stuff. So I literally told him everything, thinking like, oh my gosh, he is going to get so terrified and so scared, but at least I'll have my answer. Like, at least I'll know, okay, well, if he can't handle all this emotions, there ain't no way he's going to be able to handle a relationship with me because I am an emotional human being. I was very self-aware and I told him everything and he looked at me and he said, Abby Murphy, I want to date you. And so if you'll have me, I'll stay. Or he said, I want to pursue you. If you'll have me, I'll stay. And I had never been told that I wanted to be pursued before in my life, ever. I was never told that. So anyways, from there, it was like really good and also really hard. I had to relearn what relationships were because I was a fixer and I didn't realize that I found a lot of pride in thinking that I was superior. And what I mean by that is I am obsessed with Jesus. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. But with that came a lot of pride in the fact that I, in my past relationships, would be like, oh, come to church with me. Cause you know, maybe they wouldn't always go to church, or I had a lot of pride in, let me teach you what it's like to wait for marriage, or let me, I don't know, whatever. All of these biblical principles that, yes, I fully believe, like what the Bible says is how I live my life. And so that's what I was doing, but I was almost finding like pride in the fact that I was following this, and maybe people that I had dated hadn't in the past, or that they, I don't know, didn't always go to church, or all of these things that I kind of clinged onto and was like, oh, well, let me show you how it's done. And found a lot of pride, a lot of identity, a lot of who I was as a girlfriend in that. That when I met Ryan, it revealed to me that I didn't know how to be in a relationship when that wasn't what I was doing, because Ryan was someone who chased after Jesus and had his own intimate relationship with Jesus. And so then I was like, oh, what do I do? And that really knocked into my system. Like, oh my gosh, Abby, you have had so much pride. You have thought so highly of yourself because you're this Christian woman and you want to lead Ryan when he doesn't need that. He's got his own relationship with Jesus. And yes, of course, we pushed each other closer to Jesus, but it wasn't us coming together and then following Jesus. It was us following Jesus. And then if the Lord blesses it, and if we decide to marry each other, then we come together. And I mean, emotionally, obviously I was a virgin when I got married, but it was just like a total rewiring of my brain. And I had the best intentions, but I really didn't even know that I had so much. I only knew how to operate in that way for so long. And so when I met a man who truly chased after Jesus, I mean, Ryan is like David in the Bible. He is a man after God's own heart. And when I met someone like that, it scared me, because I knew it was going to reveal a lot about me. And I was also scared when I met Ryan, because he had such a bold faith and chased after Jesus so largely. Like, you couldn't have a 5-minute conversation with this man without knowing that he loved Jesus. And that I kind of turned into fear in my head, because I knew if I were to get into a relationship with this person, I probably was going to marry him, because I knew he was serious about Jesus. And that's all I had ever wanted. But I found safety and comfort in the fact that in the past, maybe that wasn't always the case. And I don't want to like put these labels on people that I used to date, but this is just growing up, we become more mature and we learn more things. And I obviously, for my dating history, was not the smartest either. So learn from my mistakes, chase after Jesus, and then he'll align when you're supposed to find someone. And I just wasn't doing that. I was chasing after someone and then trying to like find where Jesus fit in the mix of it. And so, yeah, I definitely didn't do everything perfectly. I think that's kind of the point of life, is to learn from your mistakes and then share it with others so that hopefully they can learn from things that you got wrong. And I definitely got my dating history wrong. And that played into when Ryan and I first started dating, because there was just so much hardship that I really had to push through. I was so scared to open my heart up again. And then once I did, it was great. But then Ryan had to open up his heart, as to where I went into the relationship more closed up and then opened up. Ryan went into the relationship very open. And then once things got serious, he kind of closed up a little bit more. And I don't want to speak for him, so I won't go too much into his details. Again, we'll get him on the podcast and he can talk about all of his stuff. But that is where we kind of had a little butting of heads. So around January, we started dating August 25th. And then around January, we were really struggling. We were having a lot of conflict, a lot of confrontation. And again, I really hadn't had conflict like this in a relationship, because I was someone who was like, oh, just stay away from conflict. You don't want to have problems. If you have problems, then you probably shouldn't be together. And I want to be with my person. So I'm just not going to talk to them about things. Do not recommend that at all. Because then you have this surface level relationship. With any relationship with someone that's deep rooted, you are going to have conflict. Now, conflict is not the same as yelling and screaming and fighting and hating each other. But when Ryan and I have conflict, even now, still today, I mean, we've learned a lot about communicating styles, but so it's gotten a lot, you know, easier over the years. But when we were first having conflict and we didn't know how to navigate and how to talk to each other, and we were learning each other's communication styles, it was really hard. And no, we never yelled at each other, but there was a lot of silence. There was a lot of awkward pauses. There was a lot of thinking. There was a lot of slow words, and there was a lot of heated conversations and passionate feelings of this is what I feel and this is what I think and this is how you've hurt me or how I'm hurting you or this is where we're getting things wrong. It was just a lot of that. And it was the best thing that we could ever go through for our relationship because we always came out the other side so much better. But we experienced that pretty early on. I mean, maybe like after 2 months of dating, we had a kind of a rough patch. You know, November, December, beginning of January was pretty hard for us. I was still going back and forth to school, and Ryan and I are very different human beings, and we've become more like each other as we've gotten closer because obviously you become similar to the people that you spend a lot of your time with. But when we first started dating, I mean, even the things we like to do were really, really different. I was more of a homebody. He liked to go out and be with people. I shell up whenever I get emotional, and he just kind of closes off when he gets emotional. He has a very sarcastic sense of humor, and I am pretty sensitive. So we were just learning a lot about each other, and we verbalized how that made us feel. And I 11 out of 10 recommend that always you want to communicate with your person, whether it's good or bad. If you don't communicate and you don't verbalize something to someone out of the fear of upsetting that person, you are brushing something under the rug that is going to erupt at some point through either some sort of emotional breakdown or through another conflict that'll come up later. You're going to have things stored up inside of you. If you don't take anything away from this podcast, my best piece of advice to you right now, communication is key. Communicate everything. Over-communicate. Maybe not over-communicate because sometimes you can create problems out of nothing, which is something Ryan and I also went through. Like there were times where I was like, I have to tell you everything that I'm going through and I have to tell you everything and everything and everything. And he was like, Abby, it's okay. And even in the Bible, it says if you don't need to bring something up and you can like get over it on your own, then get over it. I'm again putting that in general terms, but communication is so important in a relationship, verbalizing how you feel to someone. And I think we can take everything to the extreme, but so that means under communicating and over communicating are both also hard on a relationship as well. But those are just things you have to learn. I can't sit here and give you advice on like, this is the perfect amount for you to communicate. Because again, people are different, relationships are different. But what Ryan and I were finding was that we really had to learn how to communicate. And it was really hard for a while. And so we came to a point in January where we were just struggling and we sat down with each other and we were like, okay, we have two options. We either break up, you know, go about our lives. And that could be a pretty good option for us. Or we start looking at our differences as good things rather than bad things. And we start looking at our differences in ways for each of us to grow. And we take that as ways for us to stretch our personal selves and invite differences in. And we look at those as good things and we stay together. And we continue to communicate and we choose to be on the same team instead of opposing teams. Because we were coming at it from just opposite sides, like my way's right and your way's wrong and this, that, blah, 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 blah. We were not coming into conflict in a way of, hey, we want to be together and stay together. So let's talk about this for the benefit of both of us in the end. And so we had that conversation with each other and we really weighed out 50-50 each option could be beneficial and will also be hard. It was the most adult I had felt at that point in my life. And we made the decision to stay together because we wanted to be together. And from that moment, every hard conversation that we had, we went into it from, hey, we're on the same team. We want us to be together. We want us to come out of this better together. So let's have that mindset while we talk about our feelings, how we feel, our conflicts that we're having. And when I tell you, it changed the game for us. It absolutely changed the game for us. And from that moment on, we both knew we were going to marry each other because we chose it. And I never understood what people meant when they were like, oh, I chose my husband. I had only ever known love from a point of stereotypical movies where it's like, oh, you fall in love and you just have to be together because you want to be together. It's a lot more realistic than people say. It is a, for lack of better terms, business arrangement almost. Like you do choose your person. It's not going to be sunshine and roses. It's not going to be this, yes, Ryan and I are in love with each other and we have feelings for each other, but you can have feelings for a lot of people. It's choosing to be with that person. And it shifted my view of what relationships are currently. And then as we continued to communicate, learn more about each other, be on the same team, it was like peanut butter and jelly. It was like cheese on a pizza. I mean, we just went together. It was smooth sailing, great. And yes, we had our problems, but we knew after each conflict or after each thing that we went through, it made the next time easier and easier and easier. We started understanding each other more. We started learning how each other communicated, how each other felt, what our instincts were in conversations. My instinct is to be very, very sensitive. And so Ryan knows if he needs to bring something up to me, he needs to prep me in a way that helps me separate my emotions from what he's about to say. And we've talked about that over time. And for him, Ryan responds to things differently. He's not as sensitive. And so I need to go into conversations and be like, hey, I just really need you to listen and think how I would feel emotionally in this. But again, that comes with time, that comes with communication. You are never going to learn that if you don't communicate. I feel like love in the media and stereotypically today has this view on it of like, oh, you just need to get each other and that's love. You just need to understand each other and that's how you know you found the one. Ryan and I don't believe in the one. Like, I don't believe God created me and then created someone else and was like, and now they are meant to be together. I believe God knows the plan. I believe God provides us opportunities for us to choose whether to be that person. I believe God lines people up in our lives for us to meet. But I don't think he created me with someone else in mind. I think he created me because he had me in mind and he knew I needed to be on this earth. And so love today is so, I don't even know what the word for it is. Maybe like just over whimsical and like, the byproduct of love is this whimsical feeling and this magical feeling. Yes, sure. Call it whatever you want. There's a lot of feelings attached to it, but love is so much more than just feelings. Like if your love is feelings-based, that's not going to last. Anything formed on feelings is not going to last. Why? Because feelings are fleeting. Feelings are human. Feelings are us. You need foundational truth. You need Jesus. That's the thing. And so love is an action. Love is Jesus. If you want to know what love is, read the Bible. It'll tell you what love is. And feelings are a byproduct of love, but love is an action and the foundation of any relationship that will be lasting. My ultimate best piece of advice is find Jesus. Find Jesus. I mean, that's how Ryan and I did it. We're not perfect at all, but we're also not relying on ourselves. We're relying on someone who is perfect. And so when we started talking about engagement, even from when we were dating, we were aligned. Like Jesus is the reason we're together. Jesus is the reason we want to get married. Like we want to be a kingdom relationship. We want to be a powerful force for the kingdom, for the army of God. And so we got engaged and then we got married. And I'm not going to talk about engagement because I feel like that's a separate podcast. This is a dating podcast. But whatever you gather from this podcast, please know that having an intimate relationship with the Father, that's step one before you go out and get to know people. And there are many stories where you can date someone and they show you the love of Jesus and then you have Jesus. Great. But if your relationship with God does not exist outside of your relationship or does not exist without that other person in the relationship, there needs to be some change. And this is a tough love, big sister kind of love. But the reason I'm so passionate about it is because it is so important. And because if you're forming your relationship with Jesus off of that other person, then when that other person has a bad day, you're going to have a bad day. If you are forming your foundation off of the other person in the relationship, they are going to affect you. And yes, when Ryan has a bad day, it hurts me, but it doesn't affect me in a way to where like it changes who I am. There's so much beauty in a relationship, but it's so much better, clearer with Christ. And so it took me a long time to get here. And the reason that I wanted to share when I, you know, my dating history in the past was because it wasn't always like that. And if I could encourage someone to find that way sooner than I did and save a lot of heartbreak and a lot of trouble, then I want to do that. And so that's why I'm here being like, blah, 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 blah. This is everything that I went through. And no, I didn't have it perfect. And everything I said in this podcast wasn't perfect because I'm human. And I probably got a lot of it wrong growing up and a lot of it wrong verbalizing it out. But to share my heart and to share my experiences is what I'm passionate about. And so hopefully this was encouraging to you, maybe even a little bit interesting, but I can confidently say I am in a wonderful marriage today because of Jesus Christ and everything I've been through and everything I've learned is because of him. And he provided me a great man to show me the love of Jesus in my dating history. So with that being said, I always close out the podcast with my high of the week and my low of the week. My low of the week is that on Saturday, I twisted my ankle, but my high of the week is that Sunday morning I woke up and it was pain-free and I'm fine now. And I'm walking. Saturday night, I prayed that the Lord would miraculously heal it. Just saying, I had no pain on Sunday. So coincidence? I think not. Listen, everybody, I love you. If you're in a relationship, if you're not, you just keep chasing after the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus, I encourage you to get to know him because he's pretty cool. Ask a friend about him. Ask a friend who knows Jesus about Jesus. See what he's all about. He's a pretty interesting guy. So I love you. And Jesus loves you. That is true. And that is love. See you guys next week.